Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time to check in with Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist, vaccine clinic commander at Florida International University. How you doing, Dr. Marty? You ready to answer about 1,000 questions?
Sure, Bob. Hit me.
All right. COVID-19 cases are surging in 45 states now. The vast majority of cases involve the unvaccinated. What's your take on our situation now with the variants and everything that's happening with the vaccines?
Well, I think there's about 100 questions right in that phrase.
Yeah, sorry about that. I can parse them out for you. Let's start with this surge. Are we in for trouble here or not?
Okay, so a lot of things have been happening that are leading to this surge. And let's not forget that about this time last year, we were in a surge as well. So nobody can yet say that there's a seasonality to this disease, but it certainly is rising at about the same time. Here in South Florida, we're absolutely seeing a rise in cases. We've had a more than 125% increase in cases from last month to this month. We're not yet at a situation where we're short on staff, but in some hospitals, we're a little bit short on supplies. And why is it happening? It's happening for a variety of reasons. Number one is behavior, is people acting as if the pandemic is over when quite unfortunately it is not. So that's the number one reason. People gathering in mass gatherings without masks, indoors, in crowded spaces, and thinking that it's over, and there being a tremendous number of people who are doing that who are unvaccinated. And it is, as you stated, mostly the unvaccinated that are coming to hospital by far and away. And it is also true that we have, the vast majority of our cases now are the Delta variant, and the Delta variant spike is sufficiently different looking that even those of us that are fully vaccinated, if we get a high enough bolus into our body, have a challenging time fighting it, because these well-educated B cells that we created with the perfect antibodies against the original spike don't latch on as well to the spike of the Delta variant. So those combinations of reasons are why we're getting this high increase in cases. But it's primarily driven by unvaccinated people acting as if the pandemic is over and not realizing that we still are not in a state of herd immunity in the United States, particularly in some states.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been in the news, and to anyone who got the Johnson & Johnson shot, if they didn't get any bad side effects in the first couple of weeks after the vaccine, they're in the clear now, aren't they? Because a lot of people hearing the J&J news this week are a little freaked out.
That's right. I mean, pretty much they're in the clear now. But it's very, very uncommon anyway to get Guillain-Barré syndrome from the J&J vaccine, just as it is very uncommon to get it from all kinds of reasons that people can get this autoimmune type of reaction. We've known that Guillain-Barré can be a result of other vaccines. It can be a result of, actually, more people have gotten Guillain-Barré from getting COVID than from getting any vaccine whatsoever. So the virus itself can cause it. You can also get Guillain-Barré from Zika. You can get Guillain-Barré from influenza. You can get Guillain-Barré from literally a huge host of different infections and even non-infectious conditions can lead to it. But it itself, but even though there's so many different reasons that the immune system can malfunction and lead to Guillain-Barré, it's still extremely uncommon, and it's particularly uncommon from J&J or any any vaccine.
You're up to date on all of the research going on now. There's been confusion about booster shots. Where do we stand on that?
Well, that's a little bit complicated because we have a moral dilemma. In an ideal world where we had sufficient supply and distribution for all, and we were then faced with the possibility of a significantly different variant, you would absolutely want to get a new version of your Pfizer vaccine, for example, that would cover that new variant more exactly, so that you get, again, you know, boosting up another set of well-educated B cells that can provide the best antibodies, and good educated T cells as well. But we don't. That's not the situation. And the current vaccines are all still effective at keeping people out of hospital mostly, and certainly very severe critical disease or death. So although I will be very frank with you, just over the weekend I handled several individuals here in South Florida that had vaccine breakthroughs. All of them were relatively mild, except for one that had a lot of shortness of breath, and we did have to hospitalize. So it does happen. But if you take a given individual with the same, more or less the same age and gender and underlying conditions, and you have one that's vaccinated and one that's not, it's that unvaccinated person that's most likely to end up severely ill. That vaccinated person generally does far, far better because they do have good defenses, if not as good as to the original variant. It's still very good defense.
This came in from one of our listeners. Really good question. Is it unwise for the CDC to use last year's data for setting school mask guidelines when this year's variants are both far more contagious and far more sickening for younger people? What was safe a year ago may be risky this fall. A lot of folks concerned about what's happening and what will happen coming this fall in the schools. What's your advice here?
That's another, I agree with you, that's a really excellent question. And I think that everyone is struggling at the CDC to try and find the best balance between the very real need for children to be in schools, physically in schools, and how that not only affects children, but their families and then the entire economy, versus these real risks from the virus. And one of the things that we have to take into consideration is that while, thank goodness, it is very true that in general children do not get as ill and are at lower risk for severe problems than older individuals, they still constitute a significant part of the population where the virus can continue to mutate, because as it gets transferred between children, that's also a risk as well, so they could actually be a location in which a new variant forms. So these are some of the things that are being balanced out by the CDC right now. And if we were the type of society that really recognizes the value of children being in school and also recognizes these other issues that are going on, we would increase funding to schools, have more schools where children can be further apart, wearing masks as needed if they're unvaccinated, as is the case in anyone who's less than 12 right now, for sure, and still have an interaction. So if we, you know, maybe a little bit more funding to education would actually help this situation.
Yeah, it sure would. And finally, this came in from one of our listeners. Dr. Eileen Marty was in my YouTube feed this morning regarding the increase in COVID cases. You're everywhere, aren't you? You're on CNN, you're on MSNBC, and of course, wherever you are, YouTube, the networks, you always mention that you appear through the courtesy of WGN Radio and the Bob Surratt program, don't you?
That's it. That's right.
You got it. Have a good day, Dr. Marty. Look forward to
thanks so much, Tom.
Chatting with you next Wednesday.